Okay, so we're on the Gemara and Daf Chof Vov Omud Beis on the first wide line. We went a little bit quickly yesterday for obvious reasons. Not that Chas V'Sholom, the Gemara of Divrei Agoda, Chas V'Sholom, not less important, all very important, but we don't spend as much time on them as we do on the Gemaras of Divrei Halacha. So let's go back for a moment to the Mishnah in Daf Chof Dalad Omud Beis. The Mishnah Chof Dalet said, "Ve'elu heina psulim," and the Mishnah listed out four psulim, four different types of psulim for eidus, as we've now learned, Baruch Hashem, Mesachik Bekuvia, Malve Beribis, etc., etc. So the end of the Mishnah, it said, "Omar Rav Yehuda Emosai, bizman she'ein lohen umnus elohu." That only applies when the only job that he has is this. If the only way of earning his money is through Mesachik Bekuvia means, well, then indeed he'd be posel eidus. Aval yesh lohen umnus shaloihu. But if, however, he has another profession besides for this, then ksherin he would be kosher. Now, if you remember, we had a bit of a discussion in the Gemara about this. Firstly, was Rabbi Yehuda coming to disagree or just to qualify and explain the opinion of the Tanakhama? That was discussion number one. Discussion number two, which is even more important perhaps, is what it in fact did Rabbi Yehuda mean at all? Why would it make any difference whatsoever the fact that he has another profession besides for being Mesachik Bekuvia? So if you remember, the Gemara said, well, it would depend on the reason. The Gemara suggested two different reasons why a Mesachik Bekuvia, for example, is posel eidus. Either because asmachta, when you're playing these types of gambling games, you don't really have proper das, therefore any money collected from you is not really with consent and it's a type of gezel. The other reason was because if a person earns his money through being Mesachik Bekuvia, he's not a boki b'yeshuvay shel olam. He's not familiar with the comings and goings and the wheelings and dealings of the way people buy and sell. Therefore, he cannot be involved in testimony on these types of monetary matters. And the Gemara said, therefore, that you can only really understand Rabbi Yehuda if you go with the second reason. If you go with the second reason that somebody who's Mesachik Bekuvia doesn't understand financial matters, well, then it makes a lot of sense that if he's got another job on top of that, well, clearly he does. Whereas if you go with the first reason that somebody who's involved in Mesachik Bekuvia is a type of gezel, well, obviously it's not going to help me the fact that he has another job. The fact that he has another job doesn't mean that he's not a gazlan. So the Gemara therefore said it would depend really on how you learn the Mishnah. So now let's look back into our Gemara, Chof Vov Amud Beis on the first wide line. Welcome aboard, Rabbi Leo David.
Thank you.
Omar Rav Yehuda. We're on the first wide line, Chof Vov Amud Beis. Omar Rav Yehuda Emosai. Omar Rebavohu, Omar Rebeloza, Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. The Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. Now, obviously, you can only say Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda if in fact there's a machlokes. If the Mishnah brings a statement in the name of a particular Tana and nobody disputes it, well, obviously, I don't now therefore need a Gemara saying that's the Halacha. Well, why shouldn't it be? Nobody in the world argues. So if the Gemara says Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, what does that suggest? It suggests that we essentially understand that Rabbi Yehuda is arguing with the Tanakhama. And that's why we need the Gemara to tell us, well, if there's a Machlokes, whose opinion do we go with? And that's what the Gemara says. The Halacha is actually like Rabbi Yehuda. In fact, if you look just at the beginning of the second Tosus on the Amud, towards the top of the Amud, it's not the first Tosus, it's the second one. Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, says Tosus, demachshir. He holds you are kosher if b'sheyesh loy umnas b'loyhu, if you have another job besides for that. V'chein halacha, the Mesachik Bekuvia, lav asmachtehi. In other words, the halacha clearly maintains, that the problem with Masach Bekuvia is not because of Asmachta reasons, as we just pointed out. If you follow the reasoning of Asmachta, it obviously makes no difference whatsoever whether you have another job or not. At the end of the day, you're involved in an activity which is a type of gezel. So why on earth would it make a difference if you have another job? And that's what Tosfos is pointing out. If we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, then clearly we maintain la halacha that Masachik Bekuvia, the problem behind Masachik Bekuvia, is not because of Asmachta. The rest of Tosfos will leave for the moment, but this is very, very important in the final analysis. Now, you'll remember when we learned the Gemara, I hope everybody remembers, we had a little bit of a discussion about different types of Asmachta. And if you remember, we saw, not in the Gemara, but in Rashi, there's the type of Asmachta when a person says, if I don't show up to work today, I'm going to give you $1,000. That is definitely an Asmachta. Why? Because it's within my control, or at least so I think, to be able to show up or not show up in work. So clearly, therefore, when I said, if I don't come to work, I'm going to give you $1,000, obviously, I did not mean it. I did not mean it. I didn't think for a million years that I'm not going to show up to work. That would be a classic case of Asmachta Lo Kanya. But Masachik Bekuvia, that was a discussion. What is the difference between Masachik Bekuvia and the case where he says, if I don't show up to work? Because Masachik Bekuvia, remember, is not within your control. If you throw a dice, you have no way of influencing the results. So why did you commit yourself to pay? So you can't say, well, I wasn't really expecting to lose. Well, how on earth do you know you won't lose? I can certainly say that I wasn't expecting to miss work. But I was planning on getting up to work. I didn't dream in 1,000 years that I'd wake up with a fever. So in that case, I didn't really mean to commit to give you the money because I was planning on coming to work. But in the case of throwing a dice, what do you mean you were planning on winning? You were hoping you would win, but you can't plan because there's no way of influencing the result. And if you nonetheless committed to pay the money, that is a proper commitment. And that's why that is not considered an asmachta. And that is exactly what Tosfos is saying. Therefore, in the final analysis, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, what is the problem with Masachik Bekuvia? It's not because of asmachta. Rather, it's for a different reason completely, which is that he doesn't understand the workings of the financial market. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda says, if he has another job, well, then clearly he does. And then he would not be possible. And that is what we paskin lahalacha. Back into the Gemara, second line. So that was the first statement in the name of Rabbi Avohu, quoting Rabbi Elazar. The Omar Rabbi Avohu, Omar Rabbi Elazar. Now, the same Rabbi Avohu quotes the same Rabbi Elazar as having said something else completely. Kulon tzrichin hachroza bebezdin. Very big chiddush. All of these cases that we mentioned in the Mishnah that become posel eidos, that's only if there's a hachroza in Bezdin. What does hachroza mean? An announcement. Have a look at Rashi. Says Rashi, hachroza bebezdin, ve'einon nifsolin le'edos, and they will not become posel for edos, ad shiachrizu bebezdin. Until they announce it formally in Bezdin, lohoidia, to inform everybody, psulon, that they are posel. So even if it may well be known to us that this particular fellow is a Masachet Bekuvia or a Malve Beribis, whatever it may be, but until such point that they have formally announced it in Bezin that he's posel, then he's not posel. Big chiddush. Now, let's have a look at the Gemara because the Gemara is going to discuss this. Says the Gemara, what about Roya? Now, do you remember we just discussed early on in the Gemara that a shepherd is also considered to be posel eidos? Why? Because a Roya invariably allows the animals that he's looking after to graze in other people's fields, and if that's the case, he is a gazlan, and therefore he's posel eidus. So now, what about Aroya? Says the Gemara, Aroya, pligi bo Rav Acha v'Ravina. There's a machloikus between Rav Acha and Ravina. Chad omar boi achroza, v'chad omar loi boi achroza. All of a sudden, when it comes to Roya, there is a discussion. In a case of Masachik Bakuvia and Malva Baribis and all the other cases mentioned in the Mishnah, Mafriche Yoinim, we said, clearly you need a Hachroza. It's got to be announced in Bezdin. All of a sudden, when it comes to a Roya, now there's a discussion. And there's an opinion that says that a Roya actually does not need a Hachroza in Bezdin. Why? So have a look at Rashi. Loi boi achroza. There is a discussion that maybe doesn't need achroza. Why? Says Rashi, sha'aveira shaloi mufursemes lakoil. Because his aveira is public to everybody. In other words, a roya, being a shepherd, is not something that you can keep a secret. Because it's not something that you do at home, it's out in the open, in the field. And therefore, everybody knows you're a roya, everybody knows what you're up to, and therefore that's why there's one opinion that says you don't need to announce it in Bezdin, because it's well known anyway. Bishlom, in the case of Masachik Bakuvia, for example, where you may well play in the confines of your own home, or Malva Baribis, in all those cases, which is a private transaction between you and somebody else, so nobody knows about it. So there we have this special halacha that it's got to be announced in Bezdin, and only then does it become posel eidus. But a roya, at least according to one opinion, it's a machlokes, but according to one opinion, a roya is different because everybody knows what he's up to, and it's mefursemes, it's public and it's famous. So the Gemara now asks Akasha, on the fourth line, we just brought two opinions whether he does or doesn't need a hachraza. So, according to the man da Omar who says that he does not need a hachraza, if that's the case, then I understand. Then I understand perfectly well what Rav Yehuda Amar Rav meant when he said, stam. Roya apostle. What does stam roya apostle mean? Your ordinary, classic, default roya shepherd is automatically assumed to be posel eidus. Now, why is he automatically assumed to be posel eidus? After all, maybe there was no hachroza in Bezdin. So according to that opinion, it's very good, because you don't need hachroza in Bezdin. So it makes perfect sense that Rav Yehuda Marav can say that your standard roya is automatically assumed to be posel eidus. That makes perfect sense. But what about according to the other man da omar? Elo leman da omar boi hachrosa. Didn't we, after all, have one opinion that says that even a roya does need hachrosa? Well, if that's the case, my, what does it mean, quote unquote, stam roya posel? Question mark. How can you tell me that a stam roya is posel if he also, according to one opinion, needs an announcement in Bezdin? So what do you mean stam roya is posel? Either he's had an announcement or he hasn't. So how can you just offer this sweeping statement that your standard roya is posel? What do you mean? Has he has a hachroza or he hasn't had a hachroza? If you hold that he doesn't need a hachroza, okay, well then it's very good. Because even if there's been no hachroza, I've got no evidence, but your standard roya is posel anyway. But if you hold he needs a hachroza, so how can you tell me a stam roya is posel? Says the Gemara, what it means is the bestoma machrezinon alei. You're right, I need a hachroza. But min hastam, even without doing any inquiries, I'm allowed to announce it in Beis Din nonetheless. So yes, I need a hachroza. But unlike other people, where obviously you'd only announce it in Beis Din that they're possible if you have solid evidence to support that indeed he's a Masachik Makuvia. But in the case of a Roya, I don't need any evidence. Every Roya is assumed. Unfortunately, they have a very bad name. Every Roya is assumed to be grazing his animals in other people's fields. As soon as I hear he's a Roya, I just march up to the Beis Din and announce that he's possible. So when we said that Stam Roya possible, it doesn't mean that every Roya is possible without a Hachroza. No, of course you need a Hachroza. But the Hachroza is done bistam, meaning even if I haven't done any inquiries as to whether he is or isn't a Gazlan, he's just assumed to be one. Have a look at Rashi. The bistama machrezino noleo, afal pi sheloi bo'u edim. Even though no edim came to suggest Shehichnis Edroi, to say that he actually brought in his flock, Lesode Acher, to another field. We don't have any evidence of that. Doesn't matter. As soon as I know that his job description is a Roya, I say, I'm sorry, you have very bad public press, and you are automatically assumed to be Apostle Eidos. Now, it's true. In order to passel you formally, there has to be an announcement in Beis Din. So we'll make an announcement in Beis Din. So everybody else, imagine if a rumor goes around town that there's a particular individual who's a Malva Baribis, or there's a particular individual who is a Mesachik Bakuvia. Obviously, we're not going to, just based on a rumor, announce in Beis Din that he's Posel Eidos, until such point that we have proper testimony and evidence that, yes, he's absolutely a Malva Baribis. Then we would march off to Beis Din and say, well, if that's the case, we have Eidos to say that he's Posel Eidos, that he's a Malva Baribis, so he is hereby Posel Eidos. But in the case of Roya, I don't need that Eidos. As soon as it's confirmed that he is a shepherd, even if nobody has actually seen him bring the animals into other people's fields, unfortunately, that is the automatic assumption. That's what every Roya is up to. So you announce it in Beis Din Bistam. Now the Gemara brings a chidush lahalacha. Says the Gemara, hahu matana. There was a gift. Dehava chasimi olo train gazlonin, where the signatories, the two edim, were gazlonin. What does that mean, edim? Which edim? I give you a gift, and I don't want now, you're very worried, how are you going to prove to anybody that I gave it to you as a gift? What's stopping me knocking on your door in a year's time saying, can I please have back my table? And you say to me, what do you mean? You gave it to me as a birthday present. Really? Prove it. So therefore, you may well ask me for documentation. That's called a shtar matana. I hereby declare that I have given this table as a gift to Pliny or Pliny, and it's being countersigned by Reuven and Shimon the Eidim. Problem was, Reuven and Shimon were gazlonim. They were thieves. Thieves, and obviously you cannot be kosher eidos. Says the Gemara, Sovar of Papa Bashmuel Laachshurei. So Rav Papa initially thought that you can be machshir the shtar. How can you kosher the shtar if these people are gazlonim? Daha loy achrazinon alayu, because I hadn't been achrazah. And didn't we say before that you're only kosher when there's a achrazah in Beis Din? So even if it's true, it may be absolutely known, and it could be there's testimony saying that this Reuven and Shimon are gazlonim, but there hasn't been a hachroza in Beis Din. So if there hasn't been a hachroza in Beis Din, that's why Rav Papa thought that even though they're gazlonim, the shtar would still be kosher. Says the Gemara, very important chiddush. Omar lei Rava. Excuse me. Omar lei Rava. So Rava says, no. Nehi means even though. Even though debo inon hachroza begazlan derabonon, comma. But begazlan doiraisa. Me bo'inon hachroza? Do you think you require hachroza there? So here Rava is telling us a very, very important chiddush. When the Gemara initially said you need a hachroza, that was referring back to our Mishnah. And let's not forget, I hope everybody remembers. Excuse me. Let's not forget, when we learned the Mishnah, what did we see there? Do you remember we saw a long Tosfos that went through all four cases and says all of these, he's not really a gazlan min ha-Torah. We saw it hinted to in Rashi as well, where Rashi said it's ke'en gezel. So for example, a Masachik B'Kuvya, you cannot accuse him, obviously, of being an out-and-out thief. He did not put his hand in anybody's pocket and take money neged ritzonei. Or a malve beribis. A malve beribis might well be an issa doiraisa, but at the end of the day, you consented. I lend you $100 on condition you pay me back 150. I had no permission to do that. The malve wasn't allowed. The loive wasn't allowed. But don't accuse me of forcing you to do everything. You agreed. Mafriche yoinim. We had a pigeon race. In that case, too. It may be an asmachta, etc., but nobody forced you. So too, in the case of Seichere Shmita, you agreed to pay for this. So Tosfos went through the entire list and proved that every single one, it may well be that some of them include Averas min ha-Torah, but you're not a Gazlan min ha-Torah. And only if you're a Gazlan min ha-Torah are you considered Posel le'edus min ha-Torah. Whereas in all of the cases in the Mishnah, over there, all the psulim are all derabonon. And if they are posel, only a derabonon. So for the Gemara says, that's where you need a hachroza. So when the Gemara says that until such point that there's a hachroza, he will not be posel, that is only referring back to our Mishnah, which is discussing psulei edus derabonon. That's where you need the hachroza. But in a case where a person is just an out-and-out thief, not a mesachik b'kuvya or a malve beribis, all of these types of cases, he's just an out-and-out thief. He went into somebody else's house and grabbed some money. There you do not need a hachroza. And therefore, in this case of the shtar matona, which had been undersigned by two gazlonin, it's irrelevant whether there was or wasn't a hachroza, because this whole halach of hachroza, the rabbonon, but a gazlon is apostle deiraisa, it's not relevant. Have a look at Rashi. Gazlan derabonon, says Rashi, hanach demasnisin. In our Mishnah, all of those cases in the Mishnah, they are examples, one after another, of a gazlan derabonon. But a gazlan deiraisa, says Rashi, hachoytef mamish. If somebody, what does choytef mean? Choytef means to grab. If somebody literally grabs money, remember in the case of Masachet B'Kuvya and Malva Ribis, etc., nobody's grabbing any money from anybody. Nobody's grabbing. So therefore, it's not really a gazel, it's a type of gazel. But where you really grab money, kagoin, we have actually an example in the Novi Shmuel, Benayahu ben Yahyada diksiv ha'higzayr esachanis miyad ha'mitzri, ochi mefarash b'maruba. That's a classic case of Gezel. That's out and out Gezel. That's not just a type of Gezel. That really is Gezel. That's Gezel d'oraisa. You're pasul le'edos min ha'toira, and in that case, you do not need a hachrozah. Okay, let's make a start. I have to finish a little bit early this morning, but let's make a start to the next Gemara. Simon, Dovor v'aroyos ganav. Sometimes when you have a lengthy sugya, the Gemara for some reason brings a simon, an acronym, to remember the various parts of the Gemara. Omar Rav Nachman. Oichle Dovor acher. Psulin le'edus. Now, what does that mean? Oichlin dovar acher. So literally translated, those who eat something else. Well, what on earth does that mean? Now, on some occasions in Chazal, the chazir is referred to as the dovar acher. It's not mentioned by name. It's just mentioned by reference, and it's called the dovar acher. Why is that? So it could be because we know that the Chazir is representative of Esav. Esav is comparable to the Chazir. So it could be, therefore, that we don't want to mention the Chazir outright. We just call it Dovar Acher. Either way, if the words, the phrase Dovar Acher could be a reference to Chazir, well, maybe that's what the Gemara means over here. Oichlin Dovar Acher. If somebody eats chazir, then he's pasul le'edus. Is that what it means? So if you have a look at Rashi, you'll see Rashi says, no, that's not what it means. And Tosfos agrees with Rashi. Have a look at Rashi. Oich le'dovar acher means something completely different. It's just a metaphor, it's a moshel. Mekable tzedaka min anochrim. If somebody accepts charity from goyim, what's the problem with accepting charity from goyim? Dehava chilul Hashem machmas momim. Remember, when the Torah talks about somebody who's pasul le'edus, what does the Torah write? Somebody who's a Rosha, specifically Chomos. Chomos is Gezel. So we know it's something to do with monetary matters. Not every person who's over an Avera is necessarily pasul le'edus. If somebody is a murderer, is he pasul le'edus? We have not seen any evidence yet in the Gemara to suggest that he's pasul le'edus. If somebody eats on Yom Kippur, is he pasul le'edus? We have not seen any evidence. Every single case that we've seen so far has always been money related. It either be pasul le'edus min ha'Torah, if it's not real gezel, it's midrabbanan. So Rashi says that the oichle dovar acher means they accept charity from non-Jews. That is a financial issue. Therefore, it has some type of Rosha Chomos connotation. And that's why it's possible. But essentially, it's because it's a chil Hashem. It's a chil Hashem. You need to rely on donations from a non-Jew. And if you have a look quickly at Tosfos, just very briefly, because I really do have to go. Oichle dovar acher. Have a look, it's the second last Tosfos. Says Tosfos, leka lefi roshei. You can't explain that it means oichle dovar acher, dahainu oichle chazir, comma. Don't explain, and you might well want to do so. Don't explain that this means that somebody's eating a dovar acher, meaning chazer. It can't be. Why? De'i bo'ichle chazir. Because if it's somebody who's really eating chazir, Heichi maflig bein tzina lefarhesia. How can we distinguish, as the Gemara soon will, between when it's done in private or in public? The chigara me oichel nevelus leteovin. Is it worse than somebody who eats nevelus leteovin just because he has an appetite? He's got just enjoys eating nevelus. If somebody eats nevela, the amrinon lekamon, we're going to say coming up in the next amud, the posel eidos b'cholinyan. He's posel for eidos in every single case, whether it's private or public. So why on earth would we make a distinction in the case of chazir? Because that can't be what the Gemara means. Rather, it would appear to me to be correct, like Rashi explains, he's accepting charity from non-Jews. Why then would we distinguish between in public or private? As we said before, because it's an issue of Chilul Hashem. And Chilul Hashem is always when it's done in public. But if it's to do with Oichel Nevelas or Chazir, which has nothing to do with Chilul Hashem, that's for other reasons that we'll discuss in the next Omud, there we do not distinguish between private and public. And if the Gemara does distinguish over here, so it cannot be talking about eating Chazir, it's something to do with Chilul Hashem. Therefore, Tosa says, I agree to Rashi, the issue over here is all about but taking donations from a goy, which is a chil Hashem, and that's only considered a chil Hashem if it's done in public.
Rabbi, if a guy's machal Shabbos or eats on Yom Kippur, isn't there an issue? He has no yira shemayim, so how can you trust him in a, you know, to be naked?
So if you note, I was careful. I didn't say he's not posel eidos. I said we have not yet seen any evidence. See, but that'll be the discussion on the next Amud of Misashem.
Okay. Do we pass in halacha regarding taking money from goyim?
Yes. We'll see. There's a difference between stock. Actually, you can take from a goyim. Donations, you can. In fact, it's worse to take from a machal Shabbos than it is from a goyim. And we'll discuss this also next week, Mr. Shem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.